Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi First Half 2020 Consolidated Results Presentation. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Massimo Garavaglia, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, or good evening, everyone. Welcome to the De'Longhi Group First Half 2020 Result Conference Call. Today, here with me in the room, I have Marco Cenci, our Chief Strategy and Control Officer, Stefano Biella, our CFO, Fabrizio Micheli, our Director of M&A Investor Relations, and Samuele Chiodetto, Investor Relations. Before I go to the illustration of the Q2 results, I'd like to give you a quick update on the COVID-19 outbreak and the measures and activities that we've been putting in place in the past months and still today to keep our business running and to continue to implement our plans and increase our commitment towards all the stakeholders involved in this very complex period. First of all, we've been working over the last months to implement all the possible measures to protect our employees and to guarantee flexible working practices, as we all consider here at De'Longhi that the safety and the well-being of our people, who are really the engine of our group, are a top priority for all of us. Secondly, the pandemic crisis has really stressed the supply chain and the main distribution channel everywhere in our industry. To avoid any disruption and limit the consequences, we have closely worked with our suppliers, with our customers, with our partners, with our distributors, both in the offline and online world, in order to overcome the difficulties arising in this context. We have increased our focus on the communication in this period, and we have been continuing supporting better our brands with the intention to continue to serve our customers and the final user of our products. In our factory, we have implemented flexible models, flexible working models, in order to maximize the production capacity utilization. You can see that in slide seven if you have the presentation in front of you. At the time, we have been continuing to invest in optimizing and expanding our manufacturing capabilities. For instance, we have completed the investment that was planned in our new Romanian factory that is now fully operational and is ramping up to a regime level as we speak. Last but not least, we have been, in this difficult period, carefully managed our financial position to retain the necessary room to support our growth and any strategic development that may arise in the future. Now, let me bring you to a quick overview of the Q2 and half-year results. Before then, I open the floor for a Q&A session. I'm going now to the slide 10 and the following slides. The first six months have witnessed the strong resilience and flexibility of our group that has allowed the company to achieve the results that I have to say have been definitely above the initial expectation of some months ago. Looking at the first six months, the revenues were up by 6.9% at the normalized level, with an acceleration in the second quarter that was up 8.2%. Despite the difficulties that arose due to the past months, the group was able to achieve a significant growth in the main product categories, in the core categories of De'Longhi. Coffee, has maintained a positive trend, delivering a double-digit growth driven by the expansion across all the portfolio, from the automatic machine to the manual pump machine. The food segment was stable in the first half, driven by a double-digit rebound of the Kenwood kitchen machine, and the whole portfolio has seen an acceleration in the second quarter. We also recorded an important development in the comfort portfolio, mainly driven by significant growth in the mobile air conditioning in the last months. On the contrary, I have to say the trend in the home care segment has been penalized by a negative market trend, and the consequence of that, of the changing consumer preference in this period. If we look next then at the geographies, the Southwest Europe region grew by nearly 12%, exactly 11.8% in the first half, thanks to a remarkable expansion of the revenue in Germany and in France, a positive contribution for all the other countries, with the exception of Italy, that was really hit by severe consequences of the lockdown. But anyhow, that shows a sign of a positive recovery in the second quarter. The Northeast Europe was up by 5.5%, supported in particular by double-digit growth in Benelux, in Scandinavia, and also a positive growth in Poland, in UK, and Russia. The upper region grew by 10%, boosted by Australia, New Zealand, and China, that were all up by double-digit. U.S. and Canada also recorded a positive growth in both quarters of the first semester. The MEA region was the only region that continued a negative trend, also in the second quarter, really affected by a tough macroeconomic environment and the effect that was adding to the effect of the pandemic on the consumer behavior. I go now to the margin. In the 6 months, if we look on a normalized basis, the net industrial margin improved from 47.2% to 49.1%, so it's up 1.9%. The adjusted EBA grew by 21.5% to 118.8 million, that is 13.2% of the total revenue, and 14.5% in the quarter, with an increase by nearly 1.6% versus the same period of 2019. This increase was supported by positive effect on volumes, on the product mix, was a consequence of a strict price discipline in our commercial policy, and was only partially eroded by an increase in some operating costs, especially we'll come back on that in AP, and higher duties in the US. Finally, the adjusted net income was 47.9 million in the first half, up 6.8% versus the prior year. If now we go to the balance sheet, and I'm now on slide 17, the net financial position at the end of the semester reached 388 million, which marked an important improvement over the last 6 months. The free cash flow before the dividends in the 6 months amounted to 110 million after investment of around 41 million, while in the same period of last year it was 9.6 million. So this is okay, net of a 77 million last year of the IFRS 16. Regarding the working capital, the value at June, at the end of June was 228 million, a decrease of 116 million compared to the value the same time last year, with a a record performance for what is concerning the working capital that is now declined to a 10.6% of the total revenue for the number at the end of the semester. To conclude my introduction, and obviously remind you to the presentation with all the details that we provided you, I have to say that the first half of the year was definitely characterized by performance above expectation, as I mentioned before, thanks to a clear resilience by some of the product categories where De'Longhi is a global leader, namely the espresso coffee machine and the food preparation and kitchen machine. These results were made possible by the flexibility, the adaptivity of our organization, and also by the preference that was shown by the consumer in all this semester for the improving the home experience. Changes that we consider, and obviously with a different degree of evolution, and obviously with all the consideration that we have to do in the next future, will probably in a certain way persist also in the months to come. Some of the transformation that we have been seeing accelerated by the lockdown could probably remain in the consumer behavior and definitely in the distribution channel also in the future. In this context, still considering a very large uncertainty, obviously due to the overall macroeconomic landscape and the reduced visibility for what is concerning the evolution of the pandemic, we believe that after the results achieved in the first half of the year, reasonably we could expect for the year an organic growth for the whole 2020 in the mid-single digit and an adjusted EBITDA in value with an improvement versus 2019. I want to thank you for listening to my introduction. And please is open for a session of Q&A here.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Nicolas Langlet with Exane. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I've got three questions. The first one on the sales guidance. So you are expecting roughly the same trend in H2 compared to H1. What gives you confidence that you can achieve such a good performance given the current environment? Are there any specific new product launches or commercial operations to support that? Second question on sales with online retailers. Can you tell us how much of sales did you generate with online players in H1 and how does it compare with H1 19 last year? And looking at the coming quarters, do you expect the trend to normalize or actually most of those gains could be sustained? And the last question on your EBITDA guidance, so you expect an increase in absolute for the full year, but EBITDA was already up 20% in H1. So does it mean you are kind of cautious on H2 EBITDA and you expect it to be mostly stable or potentially down? Is that the right way to look at it? And if yes, what are the main headwind and tailwind we should expect in terms of costs in H2? Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you for the question. Maybe on the first one about what we are foreseeing now in the second semester concerning launches to support the growth. The answer is yes. We have a pipeline well defined for the second semester where we don't foresee any delay. So we are implementing our launching plan according to our initial plan. And at the same time, we plan to support with AP investment as originally planned these launches in line with our overall commercial policy and in line with what was prepared in our initial business plan for the year. For what is and that is maybe I would like to add that this is something that we have seen, by the way, these launches will fall in the second semester, have been also following other launches that we have been done in the first semester and also in Q2. This is something that, by the way, is a trend that also was experienced in the first quarter of this year. If we look at the online, we have in the semester a strong increase on the online with a double-digit increase in the online, both in the pure players, in our e-commerce, and also in the online of the traditional trade. So the online overall is growing. We keep seeing the online growing also after the lockdown, probably related to also change in behavior of a certain consumer. We have been intensifying our effort on the digital side, so we would like to support the growth of the online also in the future, also in the second part of the year. For what is concerning the results of the second semester, we come from a first semester, as I said, that is better than our expectation. We enter the second semester with a plan that is intact, but also we want to consider on one side the fact that the overall environment, overall economic environment remain very uncertain, and therefore we will have to see the effect of some of the policy that have been put in place by several countries in the past months on the consumer behavior in the second part of the year. And also we should not forget that we will have obviously an important spending to support the brand in AP, so in all activity above the line in the second part of the year, where we are very determined to maintain, because we want to play on the long run to support our brand. And therefore, we are very determined to maintain this investment in the second half with all the core categories, so both in coffee and in food. This is the reason why we believe that considering also the limited visibility that unfortunately we have on the rest on the external side, we should consider to position our guidance to a level that we consider reasonably under our reach.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli with Intesa Sanpaolo. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good. My first question is on the efficiency that you were mentioning on your press release. And so, what efficiency exactly did you get in the first semester, and to what extent this could become recurring? The second one is on the net working capital. I was wondering if you expect the material improvement achieved in the first semester to revert in the coming quarters. So, for example, the inventory going back to the traditional level. And the third one is on the dividend. You dropped the dividend policy because of the COVID. Now the outlook seems much better. So I was wondering if you are thinking about an interim dividend in November, given also the strong balance sheet you achieved in the first semester.
Thank you very much. Maybe I cover first the second and the third question, then I would like to come back because I wanted to ask you maybe to explain the first one that I didn't fully get. On the working capital, yes, I mentioned it. We landed at the 10% of revenue, that is really a record probably level for us, also helped by the inventory. The plan is to build our inventory further in the months to come. So on that side, we would like to go back in terms of inventory to a more normal level that is giving more sustainable for our business. It will depend also how it will develop now in the months to come. But as you have indicated, probably that is an area that while we continue to monitor very closely also the inventory, I would like on that side to, you know, build more safety also in the future, and also preparing well in the months to come, not only the Q4, but also the 2021. On the dividends, here I have to remind that this is a decision that obviously is in the hands of the shareholder assembly, eventually, and after a proposal or discussion with at the board level, but this is really in the hands of the shareholder assembly. The shareholder months ago has decided to pass on the dividends for this year. I don't have, we as De'Longhi, we don't have any other information coming from the shareholders or from the board for what is concerning the dividends. Now, if I go back to the point one for your first question, maybe if you could be...
Yes, I try to rephrase the question. What efficiency did you get during the first semester, and to what extent this efficiency could become recurring? That's the question, and a follow-up on your explanation regarding the inventory build-up, so there's going to be a sort of reversal in the coming quarters, and should we expect a similar trend also on trade receivable and payables? Of course, in the opposite direction.
Yes, sure. No, to the last part of your question on the trade receivable, indeed, we have been monitoring very closely. I have to say that the impact has been extremely limited, and we want to continue to closely monitor the evolution of the receivable. And therefore, on that side, I don't have at the moment any indication that there will be a change in the near term on that side. For what is concerning more in general the efficiency and the cost, we, due to this pandemic, we had some inefficiencies at a certain point in our plants due to the lockdown. I have to say that the fact that the plant, as indicated in the presentation, have been returning to full capacity utilization they were able to recover the standard efficiency level in a pretty short time. So, and this is continuing now in the as I speak, and we foresee that continuing in the months to come. We also had introduced measure to strictly control our cost and our general expenses, including travel expenses and all what is related to that, and merchandising costs that for us are very important. We will continue to do that, even if I have to say that after the lockdown, of course, some of these costs have been then started to come back to because obviously we are supporting the business in the stores, and we are going back to do certain activities that they've been put on hold for a while. But anyhow, overall, in terms of control of the cost, the discipline is still in place, and we are very cautious on releasing additional cost. And we will continue to do so till this period of uncertainty is remaining.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is about the pricing environment, in particular in Europe. Could you add some color on the pricing environment, competition, so just to understand what kind of competition are you observing in the market? This is my first question. My second question is about the trend that you saw in July in terms of organic growth, your expectation for August in terms of sales organic trend. My third question is about Forex. If you can give us some indication on the hedging that you have on the exchange rate versus US dollar. Finally, I am very curious by the fact that kitchen machines were very up importantly in the second quarter, while other food preparation categories were up, but not with this kind of strength. So if you can add your feeling on this discrepancy, thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. On the pricing and the competition, what we have experienced in these months, I have to say that overall, all the players in the field where we are, in the areas where we are playing, have been very disciplined on that side. Probably, also considering that everybody obviously has to face a period of uncertainty, difficulties. So, we have not seen a real discontinuation in terms of behavior of the major player versus what we probably could experience, understand in the past. So on that side, and we see that continuing in the next in these months. Now, Here, I can add what we are doing, because that's what I know very well. And we have a commercial policy where price discipline is very important, and we are implementing all the action to retain that. Obviously, coupled with, as I mentioned before, ATL investment and AP investment to support more the brands. On the month of July, we see that the trend is in line with what we have been experiencing in the recent past. So we have not seen today again any discontinuation in our trend. Obviously, I remind you, and you know it very well, that the most important quarter for us, quarter four, So, you know, this is something that then obviously we will have to look at in the months that are coming. Maybe if I pass to the exchange rate, we have today a policy that is foreseeing a co-hedging on a rolling basis against all the most important currency, including the dollar. Now, obviously, as you know better than me, with the devaluation of the dollar, we have taken some opportunity to extend, but always within the guidelines of our cover hedging policy, and therefore, you know, with the percentage that is now starting to close for the 2020, and the cover that is already taken for the partially on the 2021, and our idea will be to continue to do so, always averaging. This is the way in which we are operating, minimizing the risk, rolling and averaging the cover in the most important currency. Adding on the what you commented on the correctly on the kitchen machine, I would like to highlight one important thing, that looking at the Q2, all the food is positive, and for us was an important important achievement. Of course, within that, we have seen some products that are growing more than others. I think this is a bit, you know, if you let me pass this expression, a bit business as usual. But the most important thing is that we, as a group, we now want to have a clear focus on the food categories. You will see in the months to come there will be launches that we support more the kitchen machine, more other product of our food food preparation, on the blending, on other part of the food preparation. So we want to look at the portfolio in a, you know, in a bit in a wider way, and obviously, yeah, trying to continue to support the portfolio in food, maintaining this momentum that, as I said, has seen the overall performance of the quarter in a positive territory.
Okay, thank you. Follow up on this specific point on launches, on the food preparation. But is something, I mean, fine-tuning of, or are you planning to launch something, I don't, sorry, your business not something, I mean, revolutionary, but just to understand if it's something that is based on color, so, because in the past I saw that probably 2 years ago your dynamism in coffee was strong, but not in the food preparation. So I would like to better understand if your product launches are something just to fine-tune, or something that can add really some novelties?
Yeah, no, thank you for the question. Yeah, now on the, I believe that here in the Longhi, what I can see that we have really a very strong know-how in terms of technical know-how, both in coffee, where we are foreseeing now launches in the second semester, very important for us, but also in food, both for the range of Kenwood, the older range of the Longhi, and the range of Born Brown. The launches that we are of new products for the second semester are launches that obviously we believe will add additional feature to our existing range, that some of them will be very important in terms of differentiation versus existing product that we have today, and hopefully, obviously, meeting the expectation of our clients and also new potential clients. Obviously, are all launches that will be within the frame of our portfolio, with the intention to reinforce it, with the intention to support the growth, with intention to keep the momentum in the food category.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Bonfà with Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I hope you can hear me. The first one is, again, sorry, the repetition on the kitchen robots and the food in general. I would like to have, let's say, your sincere opinion if this current trend is, let's say, at some extent or very large extent related to the coronavirus situation and the effect of the stay at home, and if there are some risk in terms of comparison for next year, or if you believe is a more, let's say, positive trend related to the fact that your range of products is improved, your capabilities improve, your commercial policy have improved. So this is the first general question. The second one is, sorry for two boring questions. One is on the tax rate, and the second one is on, which was very high in the first half compared with our full year forecast. If you can give us an indication for the full year. And on the coffee, which I saw a 10% growth in the first half, it was plus 16 in the first quarter. So there was some deceleration in the second quarter. Just a small comment on your side. Thank you.
Yeah, on the food and the kitchen. Obviously, we are now monitoring very well the evolution. I have to say that I would like to give a perspective to look at it. What I could notice was that already last year there were several investments that were done in food, especially, and also obviously in the kitchen and kitchen machine. And in fact, as a result of that, already the first quarter of this year showed an improvement, significant improvement, I have to say, in the kitchen, especially in the kitchen machine. Not in all the food range, but especially in the kitchen machine. So the acceleration that we have seen in the second quarter came on top of what we have seen in the first quarter. Now, is this one enough to justify that? These are numbers that we can make an extrapolation. Is the extrapolation for the long run? Probably not. What it's saying is that there is definitely a market that is moving in that direction and will offer us the opportunity if we keep on investing, if we keep on developing the right product, if we keep on doing the right things to reach the end user, both on the our traditional distribution network, but also on the online, there is definitely a trend that is there. That will be really up to us, and it will be up to us to consolidate. Now, to me, at the moment, in fairness, it's not easy to make a prediction on that side. The only thing that I can say is that we believe that we have the opportunity and we have the right resources to support this important part of our business, and we are determined to continue to invest also in ATL, with ATL dedicated investment, also in digital, to support our portfolio in that direction, including, as I mentioned, the new introduction that will be launched in the third quarter, and then obviously with the focus in the fourth quarter. For the tax rate, comment here is to evaluate the fact that comparing now this year with the prior year is very very difficult, in the sense that last year, on one side, we had an important contribution that came from the patent box agreement that was terminated in 2019, and the benefit of that in the first semester had been much more limited. And on the other side, there were playing some non-recurrent positive element in the first half of the prior year that we didn't have this year. So that's why you see an increase in the tax rate versus the prior year that makes it very difficult to make it comparable. So we should probably assist in the second part of the year to a more normalized tax rate that will not take in consideration, obviously, the positive effect that were very beneficiary for the 2019. I have to say that this is something that we already foreseen. We've been already factored in our results. On the cost, we have some of the cost. The Q2 has benefit of some cost reduction. Also, thanks to savings that have been put in place and more strict control that have been putting in place. As I mentioned, some of them will be recurrent and we want to monitor and we stay also in the months to come. Some others probably will be temporary because obviously, as I mentioned, some of the commercial costs, like on the merchandising and so on, will be obviously reactivated in the second part of this year. This is an explanation that maybe I hope is answering to your questions.
Thank you. If I may, on the coffee side, if I'm correct, you reported, let's say, a slower growth in the first semester compared with the first quarter. Is it just a matter of commercial launches, or is it possible to elaborate on that?
Maybe sorry for that. I missed that part. On the coffee, you pointed right. A good point. The Q2 has been, as you know, and we have seen it in fairness on coffee, affected by a deceleration in the first month of the quarter. So we have seen. In the last part of March, and in the first half, but I have to say from the majority of the month of April, a deceleration, and then a pickup to a more normal level for our coffee business in the second part of the quarter. That's why, you know, maybe if you compare the two, you have this effect. Is mainly due to the April effect. This is something that is explaining you the dynamic of the quarter.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Francesco Brilli with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, and thanks for taking my question. I have three questions from my side. The first one is on CapEx. If you, on the level of CapEx for the full year 20, is it fair to assume a significant lower level of investment in the second part of the year, since you mentioned that CapEx for the new plant in Romania and an investment for the headquarters has already been made in the first part of the year. And the second is on the Asia Pacific, in the performance of the Asia Pacific region. If you can give us some additional colors on these, and specifically on China, which is increasingly gaining share on sales. I was just curious if you're specifically focusing on this market, or probably leveraging also the online channel, or or is something simply linked to the market trends? And the third one is on M&A, if there are some additional news and some additional factor that you can add compared to what you said before in the previous call. So are you still looking at scouting for targets on the market, and if you are continuing to look at also at professional professional products and professional targets in the food space? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the questions. Quickly on the CapEx, we are maintaining the CapEx at the level of our plan, so I didn't want to have any on that side reduction with intention to build further production capabilities. You correctly mentioned our plant in Romania. I also said before that is now full operational and ramping up. So in terms of installations, full operation, and is ramping up as I speak. So the total investment for the year we foresee to be in the range of 75 million in total. That is in total for the year. That is above what we have been investing in the prior year, and that should allow us also to add additional capacity. At the same time, as you know, and as we have indicated, we are completing with the investment the expansion of our headquarters with the intention to expand especially our technical centers. So this is an important, to me, very important, so adding new capabilities in our technical center for the development of new new products. For what is concerning Asia Pacific, the region has been growing. We are supporting it. China has been growing traction. The full increase in China is coming from the online, obviously. The majority of our business today in China is done obviously with the online and with the major online platform in the country. We have been deploying some of the investment to support the brands, and we will continue to do so also for the introduction of the new products in the next month. So we want to maintain a focus on Asia, and definitely we want to possibly increase our focus on China. For what is concerning the potential M&A, as you know, the group has a position that allows us to be very vigilant in terms of opportunity, but I believe that we should follow an approach that is we have to be very selective in the way in which we are proceeding with the M&A, and very consistent with the strategy that we have been developing in the past year, building our strength in specific core categories. And at the same time, we have to look at opportunities that we believe will give us value, will create value for the long in the long run. So there should not be short-term opportunity with a short-term view, but the possibility to be additional to the group and create a sustainable value in the long run. Now, obviously, I would tell you we are considering all the time opportunities, but we should not move till we are not sure that these two criteria are respected, and therefore being selective in what we approach, and also sure that the addition to the group will give us the opportunity to create value in the long run, being additional technical capability, being additional scale where we want to play, being additional cover of geographies where we want to be.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Isacco Brambilla with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three quick ones. The first one is on AMP. Can you share with us the incidence on sales in the first half, and if you confirm your kind of commitment to invest some 12% of sales in AMP for the full year? The second question is again on costs. Can you provide more color on the impact of temporary layoff schemes sponsored by the government? How this helped your personal expenses in the first semester? And the final question is on gross margin. Your result in the first semester was quite impressive. Do you see the current level in terms of gross margin as sustainable, even in full year 20 and going forward?
Excuse me, I missed the last part. The connection didn't work. So I missed the last part. Could you repeat the last one?
Sure. If current level of gross margin can be seen as sustainable, both for full year and going forward.
Yeah, sure. Now, thank you for the question. On the AP, I'm just now collecting. I will give you a precise answer. I will collect you the number. So for the semester, was just to be precise. Was for the first semester this year 10.8% on the revenues versus last year same period 10.3%. This is the precise number. Maybe I can comment on the AP we want to continue. So our plan remains unchanged for the second part of the year. I explained before that our intention is to give a support of the brand where we expect to have not only a short-term return, but also a return in the medium, long term. On the state aid, we have made use of what was available. I have to say that, the fact that some state aids were available was helping for a rather limited period of time, because then all our plants had to go back urgently to full capacity to support the growth that you have seen. So at the end, I have to say that we are not planning, at least we are not planning to use additional aids if available in the months to come, simply because we need to have the plant that are running at the really full capacity as I speak. For what is concerning the margins, the effect that we have seen, I was explaining before, was due to, on one side, a price discipline of our commercial policy. On the other side, of the fact that we had a certain mix that for us has been compared to the last year more favorable. Now, what I can say is for sure on the first part, our commercial policy will continue to be disciplined. So on the part that is related to the price discipline, for sure, we are determined to maintain the same approach. On the mix, I have to say that will depend a bit on the evolution of the demand, and that part, we will need to monitor it and to stay very close to make sure that it's going the direction that we want. But, at least on the two big parameters that have been helping us, besides obviously the volume, but the two big parameters that have been helping us, on one, yeah, that is more in our hands for sure. We are determined. On the second one, obviously, we try to guide it through our commercial policy and through our investment on the brands. But there, of course, will depend a bit then on the also on the behavior of the consumer, and the mix effect may change depending on that.
Okay, thanks. Clear. Just a brief clarification on the second answer on temporary layoff schemes. Should we assume that the impact was somehow not material, hence in the first half?
Quanto?
Collecting just to be sure that I give you precise information was... Okay, so we are checking the information. So considering the not only all state aids, not all state aids available, we have been talking about something less than 3 million. So we consider that in the whole scale of this year probably not very material. So. As I said, if it will be available and we have the opportunity to use it, I think there is no issue for us to do it. We should do it. By the way, what I can say in the next months, this will not be even if it is going to be available, we will not be able to use it because we need to have the full all the plants around the world at full speed.
Okay, clear. Again, many thanks.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Niccolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. A very brief one on raw material. Can you share with us which trends are you experiencing on raw material cost? Thank you.
Yeah, maybe just to briefly, obviously, I guess you already know it explaining. So we are taking some cover of the most important roles. We have been benefiting if we look at the current market price, looking at the first semester versus the market, we have calculated a benefit of around 1% versus the market. Across all the portfolio due to the cover that we made in 2019. For the second semester, the cover will be made afterwards according to our hedging covering policy. We estimate to have a benefit also versus last year of roughly 1% on the total cost of the roles.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Garavaglia, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Yes, thank you very much. If there are no questions, I consider concluded the call. I want to thank everyone around the phone for the conversation, and thank you for the question. I hope I was able to answer to all of you in a satisfactory manner. Thank you again, and have a good evening.